Let me tell you, never in our history have we been so busy. I think this entire city is so re-energized, so many great things going on. We receive confirmation of that, all the wonderful things going on in our city last year in Denver, when for the first time in over a half century, this city was selected to be an All-America city.
We're here in Owensboro. It's our day out in Owensboro. And our Steve Berger has also been hitting the streets here in town. Just earlier today, he took a tour of the city's new convention center. It opens 1 week from today. The facility on Owensboro's riverfront, it's a beautiful building. And let's hear more now from Steve Berger's tour.
This is what we call our pre-function lobby. It's about 16,000 square feet of space. This building is basically built in triplicate. It's got three shoeboxes, if you will, that are put together. So pod one, pod two, and pod three, and they're basically identical.
What else is on the horizon?
We have really carefully developed over the last few years a life science strategy in this community as well. So attracting more research scientists, and we got to talk about that a little bit earlier with what's going on at the Center for Business and Research. Uh-huh. So, that's a key part of where we think we're going as a community. We've been recognized recently as one of 10 MSAs in the South that are fostering technology like no other. We were cited as one of the 20 communities in the United States that could be the next Silicon Valley.
Now let's check in with my colleague, Cass Arrington. I understand, Cass, you visited a local senior citizens facility here, correct?
Yeah, John, and you know that enthusiasm that the mayor mentioned in the previous clip, it's mm-hmm. trickling down to residents of all ages. So let's take a listen at that and hear what they had to say about the rising generation of leadership in this town.
We moved here approximately 6.5 years ago, mostly to get close to doctors and more for convenience than anything. Yeah, I was born and raised only approximately 35 miles from here. I came here, down here, my brother-in-law came and brought us down here to see the new bridge they built across the Ohio River. They call it the Blue Bridge now. That was in approximately 42, I guess, 1942.
You're listening to All Things Considered on WNIN. I'm Cass Harrington here at the Bluegrass Music Museum here in Owensboro. And this hour we've been talking about the Latina women community. And in the last segment, we heard from Arcea Zapata de Aston about her project, Chronicas, which is working to reach out to Latina women through writing classes and teaching them how to use their stories and convert them into pieces of literature. So here joined with me now is Sister Fran Wilhelm, who has been a part of Chronicas through her own project, El Centro Latino. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Now, El Centro Latino, or the Latino Center, has been in Owensboro for 20 years now, right?
In or near Owensboro, yes. We started out in Stanley. We were there for 8 years, and then the next 12, we have been here in Owensboro.
And so 20 years ago, what was going on here that you thought, wow, this is what the community needs?
Actually, Father Tony Shaughness invited me one Sunday morning to go with him to a home out on Mulligan Road, close to Mount St. Joseph. And got there, the people told us had we come an hour earlier, we would have found 8 of them lying on the floor of the living room, because it was a one-bedroom house. And the 8 of them slept on the living room floor.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, there's got to be something better than this.
There are certain signature Kentucky industries like bourbon or bluegrass or even barbecue that we're really proud of. And so I thought we couldn't do this Owensboro segment without stopping at one place and sharing the sights and smells. I know this is radio, but let's give it a try. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Old Hickory Barbecue, and we've got a clip of that. I was walking through the pit, literally walking through it, mm-hmm. With Chris Ferguson. So let's take a listen to that.
These are the two big pits that we normally cook on. We're only cooking on one today. With it being January, it's our slowest month. Here's the mutton ribs, a couple of the hind core that we cook. We normally cook about 8 to 10 sheep a day, roughly 45 to 50 butts a day, a couple beef. I think we have 5 on today.
That smells amazing. You're listening to All Things Considered. We are on our day out in Owensboro here at the International Bluegrass Music Museum. I'm Cass Harrington. Last hour, we talked about Latina women in the community and several organizations that are working to serve them and help them get acclimated to Owensboro and the changes going on in their lives. This hour, we're easing back with the discussion about bourbon. And so it's going to be a lively one, I can tell. I have two very great guests with me already.
Their school music teacher wants them to learn. It might be 8 days of banjo. It might be 2 of each instrument, or mm-hmm. it might be 4 of each. But whatever they want, we provide that in school education. And then we also do an all-school bluegrass assembly program every year in every one of these schools. We're doing 28 this week and next week, 28 concerts.
In the schools.
Right, and this is being done by the Vicki Vaughn Band that you're going to hear tonight.
That's right, that's 7 o'clock.
Right, and so in these all-school bluegrass assembly programs, we engage the children in the history of bluegrass and show them how the instruments sound, what the history of the instruments is like, you know, what mm-hmm. where they're from and what they look like, the parts to them, and then we kind of quiz them. And
so it sounds like a music class, but maybe a heritage class as well.
You know, when we started this program in 2003, so this is the 11th year now, mm-hmm. At every one of the schools we went to, the first thing we would say is, has anyone here ever heard of Bill Monroe? And there would be this ponderous silence. And has anybody ever heard of bluegrass music? More silence.
Wow.
And there's all these kids in the bleachers going like, what in the world is this going to be about? And now we go into those same schools, and has anybody heard of Bill Monroe? And all the hands fly up. And does anybody here know bluegrass music or like it? And there's this thunder happens, you know, with them pounding on the bleachers and yelling and clapping and stuff. So it's a whole new world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and part of that education mission deals a lot with what the museum is doing right here and with the brick and mortar establishment. And we have a few minutes to start the discussion, but we'll take a break. But to start right here in the museum, there's construction going on outside. Tell us about that.
Well, that's, that's the city is redoing all the streets and sidewalks. It's part of an entire arts district downtown, which includes the riverfront. I think it's a $180 million project that extends right here from this museum down to the new convention center. It's an incredibly beautiful park, and if you haven't been to it, you need to plan a trip because it's beautiful. It's got the finest children's playground I have ever seen anywhere, and I do travel. The proposed site of the new museum is at the other end of this same park down by the convention center. Mm-hmm. And so what's going on here is that all the streets are torn up. Yeah. And the sidewalks are torn up. But come spring, it's all going to be fabulously beautiful because they're doing just an amazing job. But one of the reasons I like to think is... I like to think that bluegrass has made Owensboro so important internationally. Mm-hmm. And this has been happening for many, many years. It didn't just start. But I think it's definitely put us on the map.
How can I be your moonshine? Thanks, guys.
Vicki Vaughn, everybody.
Thank you. That was amazing.
Thank you,
Oh my gosh, that was beautiful. Just a reminder, the audience extends farther than the museum today. We have thousands of listeners tuning in on WNIN
That's
FM
scary.
In Evansville. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's the beauty of public radio. We're the community. So for these couple minutes, I thought we'd chat a little bit. This is
Sounds good. Public radio.
We like to chat.
Little break.
That's right. And so for our radio listeners who can't see you, let's just state the obvious. You all are young. And I say that in a nice way. I'm young, too. I'm not being condescending. I'm young.
We're old enough.
But this is something really beautiful. You don't see a vibrant, young, youthful bluegrass band every now and then.
Well,
so
we have a good time with it.
I understand you all are all moonshine drinking age, though, right?
We are. Yes.
Okay.
Sitting here with our wine teeth.
Well, so I wanted to clue in on your story. I know you met it at Belmont, except for the exception of the banjo player, Mr.
Yeah,
Justin.
Yeah, I just grabbed onto the group and didn't let go.
Were you a group? Were you a groupie?
No, we actually there's a great scene, bluegrass scene in Nashville where we all met, and we met at a jam session, and then Vicky and Casey and I played a gig together. And actually, my first gig in Nashville was with Zach and Casey. So we all started like meeting and intermingling, and we realized when I started playing with these exact four people that we really all meshed really well.
Well, and watching you, it's so apparent. I mean, you just gel so well, and the chemistry of your voices, everything.
Can't stand them.
No, you can't. Never mind. There must be some kind of drama that we don't know about.
No, just kidding. I love them.
Well, so I mean, how does that work? What has been the process? Because you've been together three or four years.
Oh, well, not even.
No,
almost two now.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years.
Well, we really gel. We have the same vision. We have the same appreciation and vision for bluegrass music, and we like to demonstrate that in our arrangements, in our writing. And we geek out about it. We just like ride in cars and talk about it. We love new and old bluegrass.
As with any profession.
Yes, I mean, it's kind of expensive to ride in cars.
Talking to a radio nerd here. So.
We're all radio nerds too, actually.
I love to hear that. So, well, as a young bluegrass group, I mean, it's safe to say that you are the present of bluegrass, but you're obviously also the future of bluegrass. And bluegrass right now is having quite a moment that we hope endures. As a Kentuckian, I say that's where my bias comes from. But so what's going on right now with bluegrass? People are saying, oh, it happened when Oh Brother, Where Art Thou came out. It just, people caught on, but it seems
know.
Like
I think that people are kind of hungry for authenticity right now, and there's something about bluegrass that I feel I'm gonna get patriotic. It I feel like it ties Americans back to their roots, and I love the direction that it's taking. I feel like it opens people's ears who aren't used to bluegrass music to bluegrass music. What I try to tell the children in the schools, that audience, I try to tell them that the direction that bluegrass music is taking is so great because it's integrating so many different genres into bluegrass. It's using rock and roll and jazz and western swing, and it's allowing so many different avenues for bluegrass to go.
Well, we hope to see it continue, and we hope to see you back in Owensboro soon.
Oh, me too.
Yes. Yes. Well, I don't want to interrupt this program anymore. We're going to go back to more performance with the Vicky Vaughn Band. Thank you all so much.
Cass.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in.
Yes.
This is wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for supporting public radio out there.